speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In an interview with Green Day's bass player, Mike Dirnt, the question was asked, "What do you think of Jesus Christ?" Dirnt responded, "I'm down with JC. He's cool. Whatever." For a while this week, I was going to leave my reflection at that. I think it says a lot, but eventually I figured my supervisors might get upset with me. Now, I will get to the gospel. I'm going to talk about Jesus, and we are going to share the good news. But first, a vital question to reflect on this evening. When did you hear your first Green Day song? Now, I had heard the song Time of Your Life, which we're going to hear tonight, at the usual graduation ceremonies with the photo slideshows and people getting teared up. But the first song that I heard of Green Day and intentionally listened to was Wake Me Up When September Ends. I remember watching the video on Much Music, and there was a parental advisory notice that would come up before the music video played. And I wouldn't be watching with my parents, but I'd still watch the video, so it made me feel particularly rebellious and punk, I thought, which really made the musical experience so much better. I had stumbled onto the music of Green Day, not because of my own search for the music or a way to find myself and my emotions expressed in it. No, I stumbled onto the music of Green Day because the boy I liked in school liked Green Day, so I had to like Green Day. I started wearing more black in my clothes, nails, and makeup, some leather here and there, blasting the music out of my bedroom, and really keeping my parents on their toes at this time. But I remember seeing Green Day's video of Wake Me Up When September Ends, and watching the story unfold. The story of a young couple who promised they would always be together, torn apart because the young man joined the army and was deployed to fight in Iraq. I remember two things particularly striking me in the video: the romance between the two characters and the destruction of the couple, of the trust the young girl had in her partner, and the destruction of the war the video showed. It was a magnitude of destruction that I'd never seen before, and it was amplified all the more by the soundtrack that went along with it and the reality that I saw. In the part of the Gospel of Mark that we heard today, the disciples are faced with hearing the destruction that is to come, a destruction that Jesus describes to them in great detail, only a bit of which we hear tonight. A destruction so immense that their teacher, who usually has a message of radical love and hope, pauses and instead says, "Beware." And beware of so much. Beware of the temple, a place where people worshiped and gathered and adored. Beware, because it will be thrown down. Beware of wars. Beware of nations, kingdoms, and people rising against one another. Beware of earthquakes. Beware of famines and more. This is what Jesus says is to come. And there are about 28 other verses in this chapter that go on to describe more the destruction that is to come, more of the details of what seems like a bleak future. It's a dramatic and violent gospel reading. And it's awful. It's painful, it's exhausting, it's frightening. There's no commentary that can make these words better, because I read a lot of them, so just trust me on that one. Here are Peter, James, John, and Andrew sitting on top of the mountain with Jesus, and they're just listening. It's not a conversation, a back and forth dialogue. They're gathered together and the disciples are simply faced with the destruction that Jesus says is to come. And even 2,000 years later, we too are faced with hearing and at times seeing ourselves the destruction that has and is to come. We are faced with hearing and seeing in our midst wars, oppression, the IPCC climate report, violence in our schools, our workplaces, our places of worship. Systems and people we used to trust in, we question, or sometimes just don't trust anymore. And it's awful. It's painful, it's exhausting, and it's frightening. Billy Joe Armstrong, the lead singer of Green Day, gave an interview where he says, "I was raised with a fear of God. I think that's something that's ingrained in us. It's beaten into us as a society that we fear God." A fear of God, even in the midst of all this destruction, for me, is painful. Because it's not the type of notion that was ingrained in me, but it's a reality for so many that live through the destruction of things all around us and feel alone in it. So what do we do? What do we do in the midst of all that weighs us down? Tonight, we're going to hear three Green Day songs from their album, American Idiot. This album is one that has been referred to as a rock opera and tells a story of a young man named Jesus of Suburbia, an individual who some describe as representing an outcast youth of America, an individual who doesn't quite fit in, perhaps doesn't want to, but also a person who's tired of the monotonous, unfulfilling life they're living through, a person living through lies, abuse, systems of oppression that come up against them. They are living in the midst of destruction. A destruction that Jesus of Suburbia doesn't want to face, but rather wants to run from. And so he does. He runs alone away from it all, the reality that exists all around him, and runs towards the city for the hope of something more. The album and the songs within it express Jesus of Suburbia's journey to the city and his experience there. But eventually, what the songs express is that even after escaping the destruction that Jesus of Suburbia was feeling in one place, he continues to struggle. He continues to feel the weight on him. Perhaps the weights are new ones, or perhaps they're some of the same. Either way, they're there. Sonia Pereira writes, "For Jesus of Suburbia, venturing out from the suburbia into the city does not result in finding a new place to call home. The solitude and frailty are one and the same." The notion of running from it all seems really appealing some days. Sometimes we all might think of doing it in the midst of the destruction or fear or anger that we feel. We want to leave it all behind. But that's not what this gospel calls us to do. That's not what our God and faith calls us to do. In tonight's gospel lesson, yes, destruction of the temple and many other parts of our lives are foretold by Jesus, but it's in this gospel that we are invited to see how God strengthens his disciples who hears of the destruction through each other and through God's Son. On the mountain, it was Peter, James, John, and Andrew who asked Jesus, "Tell us when this will be." Jesus didn't have one disciple whom he taught and loved and shared with. We, of course, hear of the 12, but Jesus had many followers who joined him and the original 12 on their journey. Crowds of people listening, learning, and watching, strengthened not only through Jesus and all that he was, but through one another. Through conversations they would have as they walked together from village to village. Together they were strengthened by the wondrous works they saw. And together, through God who held them and Jesus who they followed. Jesus' followers were strengthened through the difficulties they faced together. Jesus' message tonight is a powerful one for many reasons. And so I think it's particularly important to note that what Jesus says here is not to one, but rather to many. This power and weight of his message cannot be held by one, but rather is to be held by many of Jesus' disciples, and in turn, all of Jesus' followers, in strength, hope, and faith. Jesus of suburbia runs to the city to relieve himself of the destruction he lives through, but he runs alone. And life can be even scarier when we face it alone. Like the disciples, God strengthens us through each other and in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Look around you, to the person at your right, left, behind you, in front of you. You probably don't know them. But if there's one thing you hear me say tonight, let it be that you are not alone. Not alone in your journey, not alone in the hurdles you face or the fear you have or the destruction you may see. You're not alone in your love of God. Because our faith calls us to hold one another now and always the way God holds all people 2,000 years ago, now and always. Joni Sankin and Mark Nation write, "Jesus' way can feel lonely and impossible without support. The church serves as a community where people can and should receive accountability and support as they seek to be disciples." This might be your first time here, so a bit overwhelming to have all these new people who stand with you, but it's what we're invited to do through this gospel reading and the example and love of Christ. During communion, we'll hear the Green Day song "Boulevard of Broken Dreams," a song that literally has in the chorus over and over again the words, "I walk alone." As we are together in this place with Christ grounding us and God holding us, let us take a moment to mourn for the destruction that has happened and that will happen in our world. And let us mourn those times when we have walked alone, in hopelessness, in anger, in fear. But as you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, or perhaps watch others receive it, know that no matter the destruction we hear, God has joined us together by a radical, unconditional love taught to us by Jesus Christ that invites us not to run like Jesus of suburbia, but rather together to pray for, work for, and to live for the hopeful life that is yet to come. Amen.